We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4, if you would please. If you trust and never doubt. Boy, I hope it's a little easier than that. Boy, that would be a tough one, wouldn't it? Trust and never doubt. That would be tough. So I assume the songwriter meant that if you act on your faith, of course. So, but that's good truth, of course, but I don't know if anybody trusts and never doubts the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessing upon the message this evening. Father, you know my desire is to preach the word of God sincerely. Father, we pray that you would take this inadequate effort to preach the word of God and use it to minister to us personally and individually. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, we have been talking about, of course, wisdom and how to get it. And that's kind of the theme of the book of Proverbs. And of course, to get wisdom, you have to be on the path of wisdom, which is accomplished by having the wise approach to life, the attitude that is, I want to know what is right, I want to do what is right. As soon as I lose that attitude, I am out of the way of wisdom, I am off the path of understanding. As soon as I get the bit in my teeth, as the old saying goes for horses, then I don't rely upon God's truths, and I'm not trying to find what is right, I'm trying to find what I want. As soon as I get to the point where I want to do something rather than I want to do right, then I am headed on a wrong path in life. And so we've talked about this. And so here we see in verse number 6 concerning wisdom. Verse 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So get it and keep it. All right, that's the context here. Verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And so wisdom, of course, to be getting wisdom, you must be on the path of wisdom or have that wise approach to life. And here the Bible says, once you get it, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Like anything in life, once you figure it out, once you get on the path to wisdom and you want to know what is right and you want to do what is right, and God begins to bless your efforts in that area, and He always does. It may take a little time and you may have to do right for a while, but if you are on the path of wisdom, wanting to know what God says is right, wanting to do what God says is right, then you will be collecting wisdom, so to speak, and God's blessing will be upon your life. But when you get it, there's another danger time, and that is when all of a sudden the blessing of God is upon you. And when the blessing of God is upon you in some area of your life, it is very easy to get pride-filled and begin to think you don't need Him anymore. And so this is important that we don't lose sight of it. Forsake her not. And the word forsake here, of course, is to relinquish. It implies that I had a hold of it and I let it go. I had it in my grasp. I was on that path of wanting to know what is right, wanting to do what is right. I had the right attitude, and I let it go. It reminds me of Galatians, where Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and he said, "Ye did run well. Who hath hindered you?" And so he basically said, you were doing right, but somewhere along the line, the wrong attitude came in, and you began to, instead of seek what God says is right, began to seek what you wanted to do in life and were unconcerned of what was right to do. And so forsake or not, don't relinquish this attitude when blessings come. And so I have to keep the right attitude that brings me to success. And we understand this in life. If you begin to get the blessing of God on your life and then you stop doing what brought the blessing, then the curse of God will come back on your life. That's the way that it works. And I've seen it over and over again. Someone gets saved. They begin to apply Bible principles in their life and they're really doing well. I remember when I was a teenage boy, a man started coming to church and I happened to know his family. His children were my age. And so I knew them from public school. They started coming to church. He got saved and began to really get on fire for the Lord and do what was right. And all of a sudden he began to give testimony in church and tell how he is reading his Bible and praying. He began to win people to Christ and bring them to church. And we had vacation Bible school and he took a bus. He said to my pastor, "I want a bus. I'll fill it from my neighborhood." And so he took a bus home at night and he visited kids and brought them to vacation Bible school. It was about a 65 passenger bus. He brought 95 kids on it. Now, that's probably not a good idea, but that's what he did. And it was so packed. Kids were sticking out everywhere, basically. And brought them to vacation Bible school each day. And he was just really excited for the Lord. And for about 6 or 8 months, he was just on fire for the Lord. And the next thing you know, started missing church. Next thing you know, things started changing. And pretty soon, it wasn't long till he was completely out of church and never darkened the doors of the church again that I know of. And so the point is that when you begin to see God's blessing, when you are being used of him, when God, his hand is upon you, you got to keep doing it. And so forsake her not. Don't relinquish that hold. And she shall preserve thee. This means, of course, to guard for harm, from harm, but it's used in the context of to watch out for you. Psalm 107 in our Bible, and we'll see kind of the context of the word here. Psalm 107 in verse number 43. "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." And the word "observe" is the same word translated preserve here. And so the concept is he's going to watch, or wisdom is going to watch out for you. Why? Because God has put principles in this world. And if I find God's will and do it, if I do what this book says, God promises to take care of me. The Bible is what tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." It is the Bible that tells us no good thing will God hold from those who walk uprightly. It is the Bible that tells us a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. And so the principle here is that once I get the blessing of God and I see my steps being preserved, I want to make sure that I maintain it. I want to maintain it because there is a temptation when things are going well. Do you ever notice this? There's a great draw to the prayer closet when things are going bad, you know? When things are going bad, there is a great draw to God. You're searching the scriptures. You want to know what is right. Many people come to church who haven't been in church in years when problems come into their life. I get calls in the middle of the week. "Pastor, I'm having financial problems. Pastor, I'm having marriage problems. Pastor, I lost my job. Pastor, this happened, that happened," from people who haven't been here in months or years. And all of a sudden they show back up again. Why? Because there's a great draw when things are going badly to the Lord. But when things are going well, I'll be honest, this is what most people want. They just want the Lord off their back, right? And as soon as he's off our back, that's as close to God as we want to be. And God tells us that we should keep that attitude even after his blessing is on us. Love her and she shall keep thee. Love is to express affection. Keep, in context here, is to protect from the, in the sense of hiding us from the devourer or the enemy here. And so if I love her, and how do you love someone? You love them through expressing things to them. For instance, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so love is expressive. And so I'm supposed to, of course, keep loving. It's just like, well, it's like marriage, right? I mean, it's like marriage. What happens when you're dating? When you're dating, you try to win the other person's heart, right? You do things for her. You buy her flowers. You take her out to eat. You care for her. And then all of a sudden you get married and it all goes out the window, right? That's what happens lots of times, unfortunately. And when that happens, the good relationship that has been built begins to deteriorate. It's just the way it works in life. The good relationship that gets built begins to deteriorate. It's no different than having a good relationship with your children. You can have a good relationship with your children today, and 6 months from now, you can have a poor one because you decided to quit doing the things that bring that good relationship. And so if I love her, wisdom that is, she shall keep thee, protect me from the enemy. And so once again, it's this same concept. Make sure that once I have achieved success, that I keep the wise approach to maintain it. And the idea here is that she preserves us as opposed to attaining something or recovering something. It means we maintain it. And that's important. Judges chapter 2. All throughout the Bible, you'll find people who were just like us and were prone to fail when they were most successful. And in certain sense, that's who we are. I remember a few years ago, one time I was talking to John, my son, and he said to me, he goes, Dad, you know, it's kind of a weird thing in life that as a Christian, as soon as you start having some success, you get filled with pride, and then you're prone to temptation right after it happens. And this happens often in our life, and we have to be careful about it. Judges 2 and verse number 18. Judges 2 and verse number 18, and the Bible says, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. So here's what happened. The children of Israel inhabited the land. God wanted them to love him and him to be in charge and their king. And he didn't want them to have a king over them. He wanted them to willingly submit to judges and leadership that wasn't required of them, that had no force behind it, but they would willingly do right. And so he set it up that way and wanted it to stay that way. But immediately what happened, as soon as a judge came in and God's blessing was on him because they submitted to that judge and did what he said as he taught them out of the word of the Lord, then all of a sudden they got lifted up with pride. And then all of a sudden they had to have judgment brought upon them. Another nation would come and destroy them. And then they would cry unto the Lord and the Lord would say, oh boy, I feel bad. They're suffering so much because of their sin and iniquity. And so he would send another judge to them at the request of their prayers. But as soon as they had success again, they went right back down the same path. And let me say, that's most Christians. Most of us live that way in life. We're just like this. Just like this. It's like a roller coaster. Maybe that's why we like it. I don't know. Verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers and following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. And so it's just like us so often. We beg God for his blessing and we work and we purify our heart and get our heart right with him and strive to do right. And then as soon as his blessing starts coming a little bit, we're like, oh, I did this all myself. I'm such a wonderful guy. And then pretty soon we're right back down there again. Maintaining humility really is maintaining a walk with the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 gives another wonderful example of this. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 and beginning in verse number 3. And the Bible says 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbal and the Mehumnims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. I love all these words. And his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and the plains, husbandmen also in vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men. They went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jehiel the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number, the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor, were 2,600, and under their hand was the army 300,000 and 7,500 that made more war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And so here you find a great king who even not only attained wisdom and did great acts in the name of the Lord, but even maintained it for a while. But I'll be honest, it doesn't matter where you stop maintaining it. Wherever you stop maintaining it, it will begin to deteriorate. And there is always that temptation, no matter how long we've been saved, to say, you know what, I know what the Bible says, I know what God thinks, but I just have my own ideas now. I've outgrown that kind of simple faith that I had as a young Christian, and this is a dangerous thing. Most of the time, when we have this attitude, it leads to licentiousness or no rules, all right? And so most of the time, what Christians tend to outgrow is boundaries. Well, I know that I'm not, that the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is a raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, but one little drink won't hurt me. Oh, I know I'm supposed to go to church, but missing one little service won't hurt me. I have outgrown God's boundaries in life, God's protections. This is a sign that my heart is not in the right place in these areas. And so we have to be careful. In my opinion, peace has destroyed more Christians than war ever could. I think more Christians' lives are rendered useless by Satan, by prosperity, than by despair. I really believe that. As a matter of fact, suffering really is a spiritual thing in life to keep us humble before the Lord and allow us to be used by Him. And so prosperity is often the greater enemy and that has greater success. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. So forsake or not, once you're on that path to wisdom and begin accumulating it and thereby being blessed, don't forsake it. And also make sure that you maintain that affection, that love relationship with her. It's like anything, love has to be maintained. Verse 7, Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, this is a powerful verse in the Bible. Wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, wanting to know what is right, wanting to do what is right, thereby accumulating wisdom, should be the pursuit of our life as a Christian. This should be everything we try to do, is to know what is right so I can do what is right. I should always be striving to know what God would have me to do and striving to do it, and thereby accumulating wisdom. It is the principal thing. Wisdom in any area is gained by a wise approach. And of course, when we're talking about godly wisdom, we're talking about big picture thinking. What will matter for all eternity? Wanting to know what is right and wanting to do what is right is the attitude that allows me to accumulate godly wisdom. Seeking wisdom is really the key to life. Its pursuit is the most important thing. And let me just tell you that wisdom, the pursuit of wisdom, will lead us to salvation, first of all. And then it will lead us to all that God has on earth. It is that sincerity, sincerity. Do you ever talk to someone about Christ who just was insincere? And guess what? When you're insincere, it does not matter what someone else says. It doesn't matter how many Bible verses they show you. It doesn't matter the quality of their logic and reason to get you to make the decision that you should. When you are insincere, you don't care if it's right. You just want to do it. Nobody can convince you differently. And so wisdom is that principal thing. Its pursuit is the most important thing in life because it leads us to truth. Remember that big picture godly wisdom is seeking to understand how things really are. Reality. Reality is truth. All right? And let me just say that we can easily distort things in our own mind and heart and see them differently than they really are. And so wisdom is that accumulation of truth, knowing how things work. And we should not stop at wisdom, but also seek understanding or a thorough knowledge. And we talked about this as we pursue wisdom. That's how to accomplish skill in accomplishing meaningful tasks. And from an idea of a godly wisdom, it's eternal tasks, eternally meaningful tasks. And so as I accomplish that, there comes a point where I take in knowledge about that subject, and then there comes to a point where I can do it, but I don't really understand it. I'm just doing it, all right? And so that's kind of like, it's like doing a math equation, but not, if someone asks you, how do you get that answer? You'd be like, well, it's kind of complicated, right? And so this is the way a lot of Christians are, and there's nothing wrong with being at that spot. You know how to do it, but you really can't pass it on to anyone because you don't really have a thorough knowledge of the subject. And so this is understanding. So go past even wisdom. Keep that right attitude all the way to understanding. Verse number 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Exalt her, to elevate in prestige. Make wisdom a big deal. Make that right attitude a big deal. Make it important to know how to do things that are meaningful, especially eternally meaningful. I mean, let me just say, the pursuit of reading your Bible, it's not just about reading a bunch of words on a page. It's about absorbing what's there and thinking about what you're reading and trying to apply principles to your life. And so we want more than just to know to read our Bible. That's a starting place, but that's not a finishing place. A finishing place is to read it faithfully and understand that it is God's promise that He will bless the reading, the studying, the understanding of His Word. And so we should strive to understand it. Elevate it. Elevate prayer, the pursuit of prayer. Why? Prayer gets things done that have eternal value. That's why prayer accomplishes things. You say, but I go to the prayer closet and I pray and nothing happens. Never happens. Never happens. There's never one time one of God's children have went to the prayer closet and nothing happened. All right? Every time you pray, ask and ye shall receive. Doesn't say you'll receive exactly what you asked for. God's smarter than that, because sometimes if we got what we asked for, it would destroy us. All right? But if we ask and we don't ask amiss to consume it upon our lust, and we ask in faith, believing it is God's will in my life and that it is good, a good thing that I'm asking for, when we ask that way, something happens, because the Bible says we come boldly before the throne of grace. And let me say, when you get in the presence of Almighty God, the creator of the universe, and you give your let your request be made known before him, and he hears your request. Request as he promises to do, something happens. He considers it and he answers it in some way. In some way. And so we should understand these things. Witnessing to others, we should comprehend and understand that it's not just about the witnessing to others to see people saved or because of its effectiveness, although that's important, but it's witnessing to others in obedience to Christ. As God says, how beautiful are the feet of those prepared to preach the gospel of peace. And how the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And how the Bible explains that witnessing to others is our duty as a Christian. And so, let me say, it does a lot more than just win someone to Christ, although that's enough. If you went witnessing every day for the rest of your life and you led one eternal soul to Christ, just one, be worth every effort that you put in. But let me say, it also changes you. It gets you to understand what you believe. It helps you down that path of wisdom itself. And so this is big picture thinking. This is pursuing things that really matter. This is searching to know what God would have me to do and do it. That's the only life worth living, is to find the will of God and do it. It is the greatest pursuit man could ever have. And that's the concept here in Proverbs 4. Wisdom is the principal thing. Exalt her. Make it a big deal in your life to find wisdom. Exalt her. Elevate wisdom. I want to know how to accomplish things for eternity. I want to know. Let me say, if you're a parent here, you have children in your home, let me say, it is your duty to strive to get a hold of God and find out how to rear them for eternity. It's your duty. It's your duty. It's a high calling. They are the heritage of the Lord. And so we should be striving to do it. As Christians, we're supposed to be seeking something bigger than us. It's that pursuit of wisdom, wanting to know. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. To promote is to raise to a higher position or rank. And the concept in this sense is to promote you to more influence, I think. And so exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, eternal honor, I think best. When thou dost embrace her, wrap arms around in affection. And so I'm supposed to seek wisdom. The idea is that I'm supposed to seek wisdom. And let me just say, what does it say? She will give. She will promote thee. She will bring honor to thee. Let me say, they're not pursuits. They're not worth pursuing. Honor is not worth pursuing. Grace or acceptance to others, grace in the eyes of others, not worth pursuing. Riches, not worth pursuing. Popularity, not worth pursuing. Wisdom, worth pursuing. Worth pursuing. And she will give these other things. If you get these other things that are meant to be byproducts, without getting the wisdom, you have gained nothing. All right, this is like riches, okay? If you win the lottery and win riches, you've gained nothing. You've learned nothing. You're no different than you were the day before you won the lottery. Right? But if you, through labor and wisdom, you learn things that allow you to be successful in this world, and hopefully, more importantly, in the world to come, but if you prosper that way, then you have bettered yourself as well as gained material things. And this is the purpose of riches. You're not to pursue riches, you're to pursue truth and find riches as a byproduct, whether that riches is materially or, more importantly, spiritually. I'm to seek wisdom, not riches, not honor, not fame, not even acceptance. The fear of man bringeth a snare. What is the fear of man? It is wanting to please others. No, this is how it works. Please God. Let God take care of others. Please God. What does the Bible say? If a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You say, Pastor, my marriage is struggling. What should I do? Please God. Please God. I'm having a struggle with my children. What should I do? Please God. You say, boy, I have some relationship problems in my life. What should I do? Should I reach out and try to get them to like me? No, reach out and try to get him to like you. Because if he likes you and his blessing is on you, then nothing else matters. Now, I'm not saying there isn't heartache even amidst the Lord's blessing. Certainly there is. I'm saying this is the pursuit that we're supposed to have. Pursue God's truth. Strive to know him and obey him. Don't strive for these byproducts. When you get them without their source, they are empty and vain. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Remember Solomon's admonition in the book of Ecclesiastes, as he was the wisest man in all the earth, but somewhere along the line, he decided to quit pursuing wisdom and started to pursue things. He thought, what in the world can I have that will make me happy in life? He said, first, I'll try riches. He became as wealthy as any man in the world. And he said, vanity of vanities, it's empty. He tried relationships without righteousness. He tried to have many women, 700 wives, the Bible says, and 300 substitutes, girlfriends, I guess you might say. 1,000 women. No wonder he is miserable. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Someone once said, imagine all the shoes. And the bottom line is that Solomon began to seek things instead of truth. And when he began to seek things, he became a drunk, vanity of vanities. He said, I just live for pleasure, vanity of vanities. He said, I wanted to find knowledge. You know what knowledge is supposed to be? A byproduct of trying to accomplish something good. That's what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to try to accomplish something good, and I'm supposed to learn things along the way to help me accomplish it. This is where knowledge is supposed to be. I remember I had a friend in college, and he was a good guy, but we always used to pick on him that he was the genius of useless knowledge. Because, I mean, you'd drive by something, and he'd be like, yeah, that building was built in such and such a year at such and such a time and all this other stuff. And you're like, okay, you know. What does that mean? We want to, of course, pursue truth and to accomplish things in life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And so the concept is not the rich don't fall into a snare, but they that's their goal in life. That's what they're seeking after. Because riches is supposed to be a byproduct. If you begin to get on a path to wisdom and you learn to work hard and be diligent at what you do in a secular field and honor God in your life with righteousness, without all the baggage of sin, let me say, material, I won't say prosperity, but at least sufficiency will certainly be a byproduct in most cases of that. And so this is the concept. We're not supposed to seek these things. We're supposed to seek wisdom and truth to find God's will and do it and let all other things become byproducts in our life, those things that most people seek after. Finally, verse number 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And notice the same concept is here. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. What is an ornament of grace? We've talked about this before. It is basically something upon your head to beautify it, that when you meet others, they might appreciate it, so to speak, and be accepting of you. It is to beautify you in the eyes of others. And so grace is acceptance, and so this ornament of grace upon your head makes you accepted to others. And so this is the concept. Am I supposed to seek acceptance? No. I'm supposed to seek truth and let acceptance come as God sees fit. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee, glory, beauty, and honor. Once again, I do not seek acceptance. She gives it to me. I do not seek glory. She gives it to me or delivers it to me. Proverbs chapter 29. And so the only pursuit worth pursuing in life is truth. And truth so that I might understand how to accomplish eternally meaningful tasks. Now, along the way, hopefully I also learn to accomplish earthly meaningful task, but ultimately I'm trying to accomplish eternally meaningful tasks. This is what life is all about. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And notice this verse. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Even our boss or our ruler or someone in our life that is an authority over us, I'm not to seek their approval. I'm to seek his approval. And if I do that, I will accidentally get their approval. You know, it's just like the New Testament says, don't serve your master, God said, talking kind of about almost employment. Don't serve your master with eye service as men pleasers. You all know who they are, right? The boss comes around. The boss leaves. Right? Eye service. As long as you're watching me, I'm working. That's eye service as men pleasers. But instead, in singleness of heart, as unto the Lord. Look, if I work as hard as the Lord would have me to work each day, I don't have to worry about what the boss thinks. That's going to take care of itself. It's just going to take care of itself. And so I'm supposed to make sure that I'm seeking bigger picture things than just these kind of earthly things. They are not meant to be pursuits. Riches is not meant to be a pursuit. Popularity is not meant to be a pursuit. Even knowledge is not really a pursuit. A pursuit is to do something. To accomplish meaningful tasks, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. As you accomplish meaningful tasks, then all of a sudden you'll become more valuable in your own eyes and in the eyes of others. And all of a sudden, other things will take care of themselves. The one worthy pursuit in this world is wisdom. It is the principal thing. Actually, it's what leads us to salvation. If I'm sincere and I have a good heart, as the Bible says in the parable of the sower, meaning I want to know what is right, I want to do what is right, then all of a sudden that will lead me to understand the reality of things. Do you know what the reality of things is? I am a dirty, rotten sinner. That's the reality of things. No matter how good I might be compared to my neighbor, compared to him, I am unworthy and unrighteous in his eyes. I could not possibly. You know what? I'll be honest. When someone says that they think they can earn their way to heaven by being good enough, they are just not being sincere. They're delusional. They're not being sincere. They don't have a grasp on reality. And that's why the Bible says they are unjust. Unjust, because they don't even see the plainest thing. Look, if someone is sincere and they begin seeking in life the truth, they will come to know the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. I will sanctify you through the truth. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. And so when I want to know what is right, God will reveal it unto me. When I want to do what is right, God will reveal it unto me. This is the worthy pursuit of life.